Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc. with Brenda Titus. And we've got another fun, free, and informative episode for you today that's just going to help you grow in the profession because you're going to have some nuggets that you can use right away. Brenda, what's this going to be about?
Today we are talking about, I have to change, but I don't want to change. And by the way, how many sessions is that going to take? So we're going to talk about working with people who, helping them really make the change for themselves. How about that, Cal?
Awesome. I think we almost did that last session, right?
Uh-huh.
Then yeah, I suddenly had a brainstorm, took us off in a totally different direction.
I know, but we have to talk about this because I've got people who have asked this question. They need some support from Cal and Brenda.
All right. Let me do a quick little introduction about Brenda. Brenda is a giving professional who's serious about the profession. She's serious about helping her clients. She went from classroom to clients. Now she's got a booming practice. She's booked 2 to 3 weeks in advance just to get in. And then if you book with her, you got to book 5 appointments right away just to guarantee you can continue to see her to get the work done. She's got a bachelor's degree in sociology, a master's degree in criminology. She's done rape crisis intervention work. And one of my favorite things that she does besides helping me out with these podcasts is she does a little bit of teaching and a whole lot of coaching in our 10-day and 7-day hypnosis certification courses. So thank you very much, Brenda.
Absolutely. Thank you. And before we get to that topic, let me tell you all a little bit about Cal. So Cal is the hypnosis celebrity. He is out there on the internet with over 420 plus videos about hypnosis, hypnotherapy, business building in this profession. He's won almost every single award in the profession. He's brought us the 5-path hypnotherapy system, 7-path self-hypnosis, and he really teaches the best of the best. And then continues teaching by being there as a support person, being there out on our hypnospace, out here on different message boards, giving support and guidance, and of course, being here so that his co-hosts can ask questions on all of your behalf so that we can help you be the best of the best. And so today, Cal, I had a couple of questions that had come to me, and so I wanted to address a couple of technique issues or advanced issues. So this topic came to me, actually, the questions that I wanted to talk about came from Karen Hand and Erica Flint, who moderate the Brave Hearts group, the 5-Pather group, where they go and they go through your online supervision CDs and discuss them at length. And so as they were having some discussion recently, one of the people in the group had said that she'd recently had a caller who called and said, "I must quit. My husband died of cancer. I must quit smoking. My doctor says I have to quit. I want to see my grandkids grow up, but I don't want to quit smoking." So now what, Cal? They know they've got to quit, but they don't want to. What do we do?
Well, unless I'm convinced that there's at least some bit of wanting to do it themselves, I'm not going to bother with them. And they've got to kind of, when I talk to them on the phone, and well, actually, I don't talk to them on the phone. Someone else books my appointments. But if I was talking to them on the phone, I would have to have some inkling that deep inside they want to quit. So I make the appointment. And then when they come in, I would put them on the hot seat in a way. And I'd say, give me the benefits of what you would experience by quitting smoking. And they have to do that. 1, 2, 3, 4, some benefit that they would experience. And sometimes I have to help them with that. They'd have more money. They wouldn't have to worry about when they can smoke their next cigarette. They wouldn't be burning holes in their clothing anymore. They wouldn't have to worry about the way their breath smelled or whatever it is for them. And then I'm going to say, in this first session, me doing hypnosis with you is not a done deal. We're still evaluating whether or not I should work with you. And what we got to do now is we've got to say, okay, there's all this pressure on the outside for you to quit smoking. if that pressure was gone, would these benefits still be in place? Would you still enjoy having more money, not having to worry about smoking, being able to sit wherever you want to sit, you know, have to find the smoking area, and so on, whatever their benefits are? Would those still be positive things for you? Good. All right, good. So now let me ask you something. If those are positive things for you, I want you to imagine that there's a button here on my desk. And if you push that button, you would instantly be a non-smoker. Would you push that button? And if they say, yes, I'd push that button, I said, then you're doing it for you. Yes, there's all these other reasons that maybe got you moving in the direction, but there's reasons that you want to do it for you. But if they hesitate at pushing that button, I would say, you know what, I think you need to think about this and come back when there's enough reason for you to do it for you, because hypnosis cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. When you want it, we can get it for you. And when I take it away that way, you know, people want what they can't have. So I take it away and say, you know, I don't know if I'm really willing to work with you right now until you can demonstrate to me that you want it for you. And when you do that, then they say, okay, I'll push that button. I go, really? You want it for you? Yes, I do. Good. And then we'll move forward. How's that sound?
That sounds great, Cal. And I think that really then helps. Once we get to that place of, you know, really talking to somebody so that they start doing it for themselves, then of course everything changes for them. You know, they're not then doing it for their wife. They're not doing it for the doctor. They're, you know, so then they're not, you know, angry at all those people. They're doing it for themselves. And when we can really get down to, and I want to do it for me, then that can really help make that shift. And so then they'll be open to doing the work and, you know, really making that change. I love it.
Perfect. And so once I've got them to that stage, now they're in a position where they could actually talk about the downside. I say, well, what is the downside? And we've got the benefits, what they're going to get by quitting. What are the negatives for, you know, continuing in the old way? And then when we actually begin the hypnosis, no matter what script or process I'm going to use, see, this person is what we call conflicted. On one hand, they want it, on the other hand, they don't. And one of my best scripts for those kinds of people is the High Road, Low Road universal script. And I'll put a link down below on calbanion.com in the notes that go along with this podcast to that script, because what's going to happen is we're going to take them down this low road of continuing in the old way. And, you know, all the worries, all the concerns, all the expense, whatever the downside is. And what that does is it highly motivates them to want to change, and it squashes the desire to remain in the old way. Then we bring them back to the beginning of the fork in the road, and we take them up the high road to success, where they can experience all of the benefits. So I highly recommend that everybody get that script, the universal script, high road, low road script. The link will be down below. And what it does is it takes the person who's conflicted and gets them totally onto the side of wanting to change. Have you ever used that script?
Yes, I regularly use that script specifically with my smokers more than anybody else. That is definitely the go-to especially when working with smokers. But that is a good point when you're talking about somebody who's conflicted and you realize that, that's an excellent point as well. Thank you.
And that's the stuff we're talking about isn't just with smokers. There's people that are conflicted about weight loss. You know, they've tried and failed so many times, they've associated so much pain with trying it again. Or they might be conflicted over the relationship they're in. You know, on one hand, they want to continue, but on the other hand, they want to say the heck with it. Or, you know, whatever it is that they're conflicted about, do that high road, low road, and use the techniques that we've just been talking about.
Definitely. And, you know, I was just thinking, I really enjoy actually doing smoking cessation for that very reason. There's something very challenging about, you know that generally speaking, if the people that come to see us could just continue on their merry little way with their cigarettes, they wouldn't come to us for smoking cessation. there's a reason that they're there. And there's very often a reason that they want to continue their behavior. And so it's that excitement of figuring it out with them or what have you as you're talking to them. Is it the money that's really going to really drive it home, or the health issues or the social issues? Or actually, I've had a lot of people where just that issue of being in control and having their personal power, that has been the ticket that has gotten us through, you know, the sessions where they're like, I'm not going to give my power away to any stinking cigarette company, and then I pounce on it. And so I just think, you know, smoking cessation is a great, I really believe it's extremely rewarding because it's something that very quickly can change people's lives in such a dramatic way and really help them believe in their ability to do anything. And once you can, you know, really work with them and help them, you know, get to that point of I'm doing it for me because of XYZ, I mean, it's just, it's such an amazing process and I just really enjoy the challenge. And so thank you for giving us some thoughts and some techniques to get us going today, Cal.
And just a quick little thing, I have a book of scripts. I'll put a link to it down below also. It's called Not Just Another Book of Scripts. And I have one or two stop smoking scripts in there. I've got weight loss scripts. I've got nail biting scripts, pain management scripts, all that kind of thing that are tried and true and proven by our grads who go from classroom to clients, plus other people around the world who've purchased that book. All right. Hey, so we got time for another question?
Yes, excellent. So I have another question. You know, like I said, we love your questions here because that helps Erica and I prepare to, grill Cal on these questions. And so I do have the Five Path or Braveheart group that I often will go to and say, hey, just want to check and see, you know, what all you guys have. And so I do have another question that had come from some of their recent discussions. They had recently been talking about one of the Bolsom CDs, the online supervision CDs, and they had gotten to a really great series that's called What the Pros Know, and it's Cal just, you know, going through a variety of kind of what-if types of things. And as they were discussing that, the topic had come up about leaving valid feelings in place. And that's especially when we're, you know, doing age regression. You know, I mean, you know, the concept of age regression is that, you know, working with misperceptions. And they said, well, but what about where there is, you know, anger that comes up that is not a misperception? And, you know, you talk a lot in the CDs and in training about leaving valid feelings in place, but they weren't really sure where to begin with that. And so I told them that I would, you know, kind of ask you for a little bit more information, really get some background so that they would first understand how to gauge, you know, these feelings, and then what to do to send someone home. Kind of like, I think about that. I know you're angry. I know that we've just dug a whole bunch of stuff up, but we'll deal with your anger next week. So how can we work with our clients so that we can send them home, but know that they're going to come back so we can really do the incredible work to resolve that anger on the next session?
Okay, good. So now the Banyan Online Supervision CD set. For me, it's an externship program. One of the things that used to frustrate me is I have so much more than I can give someone in 1 week or 2 weeks. And it was only our staff that worked at our center or interns when we were doing internship that I had really that chance to work with on an ongoing basis and give them much more than I can give them in class. And the way to remedy that was to do the Banyan Online Supervision meetings. And so what that was, online meetings, people paid to be a part of that. And every week for 40 weeks, we got together online and we talked about topics in much more depth than I could in class. And it could be age regression, or it could be insider tips, or, you know, the 100 what ifs. And those are the what ifs that maybe keep people from really getting started. They go, oh, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And so on. So all of that stuff. And Celeste was the first one to do it. And that was to continue the process of getting groups together to work through all those CDs. It's like, you know, a master's degree program in hypnotherapy. Okay. So the question is, in there, I talk about age regression work. And the work that we're talking about is done within the framework of you are a five-pather doing your work. Phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing. Phase two, age regression and age progression work. Phase three, forgiveness of self. Phase three is forgiveness of others. Phase four is forgiveness of self. And then phase five, if needed, parts mediation work. Now, with that being done, and really having done thousands and thousands of hours of hypnosis practice with FivePath, myself, the hypnotists that work at our center, our grads around the world, we know that one of the main emotions to come up in age regression is fear. Okay? The other main one that comes up is anger. Now, what happens in age regression work is we want to go back. We want to find out what happened, what it made them think, what it made them feel. And what happens is a lot of what we thought as a child was not based in reality. And so it caused invalid emotions to be generated. For example, to think you're in danger when you're not in danger. So we take the grown-up aspect of the client back to that time when they were a child, particularly just before the event, tell them whatever they need to know so they can go through the event without thinking that misperception, which generates the erroneous emotion. Okay, and so we can tell them that, hey, you're going to be safe in this situation. And so the fear is gone. The other example, like Brenda's talking about, is we go back and in the age regression and we find out the child is angry because they perceive that something is unfair. Now, when we visit that event and we find out the child believes it's unfair because this happened, they gave it this meaning, it's not fair, and then that creates the emotion of anger. Then we can now look at it objectively from this point of view of the adult and say, was that really not fair? And if they say, oh, actually, it was fair. I just thought it wasn't fair when I was 3, 4, 5 years old. Good. All right. So we, just like with fear, we can go back to before that event, inform that child what's going to happen and why it's fair. And it instantly neutralizes the anger when they go through the event again, perceiving that it is fair. Okay? And so that will immediately neutralize decades of the seething anger that's been inside and all the side effects from that. Now that with that background, I can answer the question. And that is, what if you go back and it was not fair? Their anger is valid, okay? Now, this child has been pushing down this anger forever because there was nothing they could do with it. Or maybe it did erupt at certain times of their life and it had negative consequences. So the adult is pushing it down and they're angering. And in class, I talk about anger is a wall. When you're truly angry at someone, you can't feel their love. You can't understand their perspective. It separates you from the people you care about and love. Okay. So if we go back in time and the anger is not based in reality, we shift it, it goes away. But if it is based in reality, we owe it to the child to validate the anger. Everybody else is telling them, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry, and they push it down. And that causes all kinds of problems, like eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, all these too much behaviors as they attempt to distract themselves from this anger that's inside. Because it's worse than just being angry. They feel bad about feeling bad. So they might be angry at themselves for being angry at their mom. They might feel guilty for feeling angry at their mom or whatever it is. And so it just is this cycle of feeling angry and feeling bad about feeling angry, pushing it down and all that stuff. So what we need to do is we need to talk to that adult and we find out, this is the adult aspect of the client, was that not fair? And they can say, in some cases, that was really not fair. Good. Let's go back. Tell the child what's about to happen and that it is not fair and that they can feel angry about it. You see, I think it was Steve Parkhill that said this in these words: all human emotions are short-lived when fully expressed. Okay, and so what we want to do is go back, revisit the event, and let the child feel that anger. Just let it out. Feel it. They might have to hit a pillow a little bit, but let it out. Yell, scream, whatever they got to do so that they're not pushing it down. And that will provide a catharsis, this emotional release, which can be very, very healing. And then we take them through the SSEs, the subsequent sensitizing events, feeling the anger, feel it. And you're going to find out that this is not only very healing, it's also very empowering for the child. And they don't feel bad about feeling bad. They don't feel guilty about feeling guilty. They don't get angry at themselves for being angry. And so all those extra feelings that were caused by this trying to hold back or bury the emotion are instantly gone. And so it's a great deal of relief. Now, after they emerge, they may still be feeling angry. But the truth is, the anger that they're experiencing on the surface doesn't compare with the anger that they've been holding inside. And we will tell them, you know what, we're going to work on that next session, but right now, be empowered. Feel that anger, okay? Maybe you gotta go home, hit the pillow a few times, but feel it, be empowered by it. You know, now what you do with it, you know, anger is not bad. It's what you do with it. It's either good, bad, or effective. You still want to behave in a grown-up kind of way, but acknowledge that anger. Because as they allow themselves to feel it, it bleeds it off, it bleeds it off, it bleeds it off. Then in our next phase of the work we do is forgiveness of others. And what we're going to generally do at this point is have them take them through a tried and true process that will enable them to remove the anger that they've been carrying around. So that now they've got the empowerment and they've got the peace they've always looked for. How's that sound?
Excellent. I think actually having listened to some various CDs recently and heard that similar concept and really thinking about that, you know, leaving the valid emotions in place, actually really like that you added there. Sometimes we want to let the client feel it right there in the middle of the session, but most important then for them to really understand, you know what, yeah, you know, you misunderstood it as one feeling before. Now you realize it's anger and it's okay to have that anger because it wasn't fair. We're going to help you work through it and assure them, I know exactly what to do and we'll get to it next week. It's going to feel amazing. That always seems to help.
Now, there's some other systems or quasi-symptoms or processes or approaches where some hypnotists do age regression. Try to do that forgiveness work in the age regression. And the problem with that is that you wind up doing a less complete forgiveness work than what we do in phase 3 of 5 path. And you tend to do a less complete age regression work. So in 5 path, we really spend that segment of time working through age regression, doing an excellent age regression process. Then when we go into phase 3, forgiveness of others, we can do a kind of forgiveness that's so powerful and so deep that it is a healing, transformational kind of forgiveness. You've seen that in clients, haven't you?
Oh my gosh, yes. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing, yes.
All right. Good. I'm feeling totally satiated. How are we doing?
Excellent. And it's just about time to wrap it up. So thank you so much, Cal, for going through those questions, because I know even within the externship Balsam CDs, actually it helps to for us even to still be able to ask questions as we're going through them, because, you know, so many things are covered so well, but then, you know, now that, like for me, maybe the technique's a little bit different, or, you know, we have additional questions. So I'm so glad that we have this format to be able to ask you, and that actually probably might pique some interest for other people, because these CDs are so valuable in just really enlightening you in terms of your 5-path process and really becoming better and better. I just have to say that, but thank you, Cal, because I know that a couple of those questions had come up for me as well. So thank you so much for being able to answer those today, and I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Thank you all so much. much for being here today. Hope that we were able to answer some questions for you. If you do have questions, please do be sure to send them to me at Brenda@OCHypnotherapy. Brenda@OCHypnotherapy.com, or I can be found on Our Hypnospace. I can be found on Facebook. You can leave questions or comments down below on calbanion.com or also on our Facebook page. I try to keep an eye out there as well. We look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great week, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. It's been a pleasure doing these four recent podcasts with you. Look forward to doing more in the future. And for you folks out there, I want to see you in class. Now, we've got a very special, only once a year at our center, class coming up called the Week of Power. It's going to be May 3rd to the 9th at our center here in Tustin. It's for people who are already certified in the profession and they want to become five pathers, seven path self-hypnosis teachers, really become a one percenter, best of the best in the profession, and I want to invite you to take a look at that. So right below is a link, and I want to see you in class. That's it. See you on Our Hypnospace. See you on Facebook.com/hypnosisETC, where we keep the conversation going. That's it. Cal Banion signing off.
This recording is a property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.